Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, it is a Wednesday. Yes, it is. Live in Los Angeles, this is The Herd. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, we're on Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, and FS1. It is great to have you in today. We will offer clarity in a cluttered sports world. That's what we will do today. Nick Wright, Joel Klatt stop by in the first hour, 15 minutes. Joy Taylor, how are you?
I'm great. There's a whole lot going on this week. NBA draft tonight.
NBA draft tonight. Huge NFL weekend. Yes. Starts tomorrow. Seahawks, Arizona. It's the best NFL weekend of the year. Monday night football is great. Thursday night football is great. Sunday's got three or four great rivalry games. So I want to start with this. So what is leadership? What is leadership? I remember having Jimmy Johnson stop by here, one of the great football coaches of all time. And I asked him one time, I'm like, what is leadership? And he's like, I don't know. Troy Aikman had it. I can't really define it. And I don't know what it is either. I think leadership is the courage to do unpopular things, but don't do unpopular things just to be aggravating. Leadership is elevating others. Leadership is I can count on you in crisis. The NBA's got all sorts of talent. I don't think they have a ton of great leaders, but I think Kevin Durant is one of those. I think LeBron's the best basketball player in the world and has been for 15 years. When healthy, Kevin Durant, in my opinion, is number two. Kawhi's a close third, great defender. But I think even though the burner Twitter account and, you know, he can be a little bit fragile physically. When I think of Kevin Durant, I think of always takes the big shot, never ducks it, will yell at teammates, yelled at Draymond Green. Not afraid to go after people. I don't think he's quite the leader of LeBron James, but I don't think most of this league is quite the blank of LeBron James. But I think leadership starts with honesty and doing uncomfortable things. And I'm reading these stories about the Houston Rockets. The owner says, I will make it uncomfortable for Westbrook and Harden. And you think to yourself, boy, Houston is in a rough spot here. Kevin Durant can clean it up very quickly. And this is a moment for Kevin Durant to be a leader. Kevin Durant goes to the owner and Steve Nash of the Brooklyn Nets and says, get me Harden, trade everything else. You don't need Jared Allen. You can win in this league without bigs. Kyrie Irving, Harden, and KD, be honest. That doesn't even sound like it works. That's just going to be too many guys with the ball. Kevin Durant and James Harden can get you to the NBA championship with a bunch of B players. Listen, the NFL's different. Most of your star quarterbacks, I mean, Patrick Mahomes doesn't have any baggage. I mean, he's coachable. He works hard. He's good. He's a great kid. He loves football. He's passionate. He works his ass off. But in the NBA, just the basketball culture in general, everybody's got something. You know, Kyrie is brittle and his ego, and Westbrook doesn't play well with others, and but the truth of the matter is, in the big picture of the NBA, take LeBron out of it, Kevin Durant and James Harden, they love to play. They play hard. They're into basketball. I mean, Harden's kind of ball-centric style can be difficult, but he's gotten lots of playoff wins in his career, and Kevin Durant's remarkable, although, again, his injuries concern me a little. Leadership, we know that LeBron James has gone to front offices and said, get me that guy and get rid of those guys. When he came to Los Angeles, he didn't like any of his players. I'm still not sure he likes Kuzma. He said, get me AD. That is leadership. You may not like that view of leadership, but that's what CEOs do in America. Get me that vice president. Get me that sales director. Get me that HR person. That is leadership. Let's go get it. And LeBron has never been shy. Go to an owner. Go to a GM. Go. I need that. I don't like that. Kevin Durant, this is your moment. You can be a nice guy. You can be well-liked. James Harden and Kevin Durant feels like a finals to me. Make it happen. LeBron would. And I think KD, I do think KD's got good leadership skills. I really do. I mean, sometimes he gets, you know, the little Twitter burner thing, whatever. LeBron's on social all day anyway. Some guys are into it. NBA guys are into it. But this, to me, is a moment. Because the rest, it looks like Houston's in a really tough spot. They wouldn't be if KD went to the owner and just said, let's get Harden, give him whatever they want. Give him Kyrie, give him 5 first-round picks, give him Jared Allen, give him a guy off the bench. You'll figure out, in the NBA, you get LeBron and AD, they just won a championship without a dependable third score. Joy and I watched it. It was on television. I mean, we were literally all year like, who's going to show up? It was like Rondo all year was a mess. And then Rondo in the finals, you're like, oh, okay, it was Rondo. You get 2 great players. You get LeBron and AD. You just figure the rest of the crap out. You get Harden and KD, and KD could make this happen today. Give them everything. Get me Harden. That's leadership. It's uncomfortable. You'll get flack. But in this league where even the star players all have, you know, outside of LeBron, there's a little baggage here and there. KD doesn't have a lot. And Harden, I'll take his. He plays hard. He plays every night. He gives me 32 a night. And by the way, he makes an effort on defense. He's not a great defensive player, but down low, he'll put his butt on you. He gives an effort. I'm okay with that. Kyrie doesn't. Yesterday, by the way, Chris Broussard said KD likes James Harden a lot.
People around the league are saying Durant wants Harden and Kyrie does not. Who is James Harden close with in the organization in Brooklyn? Mike D'Antoni. Every offense he's created has had one guy handling the ball and creating the offense for everybody else. Who you think he's giving the ball to in Brooklyn if they get James Harden? It's Harden. And I don't see Kyrie wanting to be the third best player on a team.
Make it happen, KD. You can do it. You're a leader. You are. I believe it. Go for it. All right, NBA draft is tonight. I think this is rather remarkable. I'll watch it. I'm a sportscaster. I have to. The NBA draft tonight does not have a clear-cut guaranteed star. Not one. Basketball is a global game. The world plays basketball. And for the record, like soccer, it can be kind of inexpensive. Hockey, tennis, golf equipment, football, baseball, you got to find a diamond bat, ball. Those can be really cost prohibitive. But soccer and basketball, get a ball, couple of dudes, you can work on your game. It's a global game. And we don't have one player in the draft that everybody acknowledges is great. Last year, alone, in the first round alone, the NFL got 3 stars. Just at quarterback. Just at quarterback. Ready to play as 21, 22-year-old men. LaMelo Ball may go number one tonight. Apparently his people are giving teams binders, breaking down his social media influence. Anthony Edwards, guard from Georgia, may go. He has, they say here, an inconsistent work ethic. Can't shoot. He tells the story that he really prefers football, but once he could dunk, he chose basketball. So they asked him, when did you really get into basketball? He said, I'm still not really into it. If I were drafted by the NFL tomorrow, I'd let basketball go. He also says he wants to get into music. Oh, boy. I'm not blaming the kids here, but I think we have something going on in our country in the basketball and football cultures, and I prefer the football culture. It does not coddle and it does not worship. Kyler Murray is great. He had to transfer. Russell Wilson's amazing. He had to transfer. Aaron Rodgers had to go to a junior college. Baker Mayfield had to walk on twice. Tom Brady was told, you're not good enough. We'll draft 6 quarterbacks over you. The basketball culture in America is increasingly, and it's getting worse, worshiping, coddling. Find an 18-year-old or earlier, according to reports I hear about shoe companies, and get them paid. The football culture is about building men emotionally and physically. This past NFL draft, they could not hold it in a city. Although I got to tell you, I loved it in Chicago. I loved it in Philly. I loved it in Nashville. I like the traveling NFL draft. I think it's really cool. But instead, they did it on Zoom calls and meetings and houses. And it was remarkable. Young men surrounded by family, crying, changing lives. Oh, so ever grateful for the opportunity to play a great game. They weren't handing you a social media binder. They weren't saying, yeah, I kind of prefer hoops. Football's culture builds things. They build young men into 22-year-old men who are a little more grateful, a little more humble, a little more thankful, and frankly, a lot tougher and more focused. I don't blame the kids on basketball. If I was 15 years old and somebody gave me a briefcase of money in my situation and I was told I was great and it was swag and it was shoes and it was YouTube, I couldn't handle it. Who am I kidding? I'm not sure if I can still handle it. I don't blame the kid. I blame the culture of basketball, which is too coddling and worshiping and YouTube-driven. A social media binder? I'd play football if they drafted me? It's allowed. In football, it's not about finding you and paying you. It's about finding you and building you. The development in football is remarkable. I live in Southern California. It's all over the country. I've seen it in Houston, Atlanta. The quality of football coaching is so good. And it's not about just the kid. It's about the culture and building him from a boy to a man. I know it sounds corny and melodramatic, but we have a global game. And we don't have one player tonight who's guaranteed to be good. The NFL's a domestic sport. That's the only place you get players. It's expensive. It's cost prohibitive. There's 7 rounds of players. And then half the league is undrafted. I like my sports to care more than just about money. I like them to care about the kid, emotionally and physically. I'll watch the draft tonight. But the top 2 players would scare the hell out of me. I don't want to know about your Instagram page. I don't know about Patrick Mahomes. I don't know about Kyler Murray's. I don't know about Joe Burrow's. I never knew about Andrew Luck. I know he needed to shave his beard. It was a mess. I don't want to know about that social media stuff. And by the way, if you don't love basketball, keep it to yourself. You're hurting yourself. Do a better job as an agent. He's a kid. He needs guidance. But I think we have a basketball culture that too often is broken and a football culture that's worried about the right stuff. Not only building up a kid's bank account, but building up the kid emotionally and physically. All right. So Tua, everybody's on Tua because Tua came out yesterday and said, yeah, I got to be honest with you. I thought the NFL was going to be a lot harder. And it's interesting because he makes a point here that we need to revisit. Is success in the NFL made harder than it needs to be? We'll talk about that. Joel Klatt, Nick Wright.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Rectech's more than a grill. It's a lifestyle built by grillers for grillers. Stainless steel build, 6-year warranty. Rectech, RECTEQ.com. Nick Wright in 10 minutes. So Tua, quarterback for the Miami Dolphins, his 2 coaches in his life have been Nick Saban, the best college football coach of all time, and Brian Flores, who looks like a bona fide star coach. And so Tua said the other day, it's like, you know, it's not, the NFL's not as hard as I thought it was going to be. And people jumped on the kid. But here's the thing. If you were Tua and you had landed Nick Saban and then Brian Flores, and you also played at a high school in Hawaii that, like, didn't lose a game for 3 years, football wouldn't look as hard. And frankly, it's not if you get the right coach. Bill Parcells, 4 times, took bad teams, made them good within a year. Urban Meyer, 4 times, took college football programs, bad 1 year, turned them all around in 1 year. When you get the right coach, football's not that hard. You don't even need to land a great quarterback. Brian Flores has turned it around. with Ryan Fitzpatrick. They were 0-7 to start the year. They finished the year better than New England. Look at the Giants with Joe Judge. They're turning it around without Saquon Barkley and with Daniel Jones, who nobody classifies at this point as even a good quarterback. I'm not saying finding that coach is easy, but Brian Flores had a very good reputation. I heard a story about a week ago that the only thing that held him back is he'd never officially been a coordinator for a year, but he blew everybody away in interviews. People were just worried he's never even been a coordinator. He needs 1 year as a coordinator. People were worried. Sean McVay blew people away. Look at what Sean McVay did with the Rams. He didn't even do it in one season. He did it in an offseason. They went from awful to 3-0 in September. So this idea, if you played in Honolulu where Tua did and never lost a high school game, or maybe lost one, and then you went to Nick Saban and then you went to Brian Flores, when you get the right coach, it's not difficult. Joe Judge and Brian Flores, without great quarterbacks, turned around the culture in 8 weeks. That was it. By the middle of the season, about Thanksgiving, you looked at Miami and you're like, Joey and I kept saying this. We're like, oh, they're going to be a tough out when they get some players. Like, they're well coached. Giants right now. I picked them last week to win. I said, you watch the Giants play. They just have to get more dynamic offensively. Saquon Barkley, get a star receiver or a big-time young talent receiver. That's a football team that wins division and win games in the playoffs. So this idea that, oh, football has been kind of easy. First of all, Tua works really hard, and he's got some natural instinctive gifts. And he went from the best West Coast football program to the best college football program to the best young football coach. It's not that hard. I've watched it my entire life. The bad coaches make it hard. I mean, Andy Reid got fired in Philadelphia. There were 8 teams that hired coaches. But it was the Kansas City Chiefs who have stable, smart ownership forever, since I've been a kid. They've been viable. They've always been viable. They were on the phone with Andy Reid within 3 hours and had a contract signed in 4 days. He was available to a bunch of teams. What a shock. The one well-run team hired Andy Reid, who had a history of 5 NFC championship games and a Super Bowl appearance. This league is not that tough. It's not easy to find the right coach and the right GM, but once you do, Sean McDermott turned around Buffalo fast. Sean McVay turned around the Rams in an offseason. Joe Judge and Brian Flores, 8 weeks. You're like, those are really good football coaches. It ain't that difficult. There's a lot of bad GMs. It's like anything else. There's a lot of bad in the NFL and about 10% really good. The key, of course, is finding the really good. But McVay had a reputation. Flores had a reputation. People knew about them. Kyle Shanahan was on the market for a lot of teams. It took too long for him to get the Niners job. Everybody knew Kyle Shanahan. He made 4 different quarterbacks Pro Bowlers. Joy of the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Through the Seahawks' first 7 games, Russell Wilson only turned the ball over 6 times. In the last 2 games, he's committed 7 turnovers, but he says he's not going to let his recent struggles slow him down.
You gotta just keep climbing. And, I think Vince Lombardi said something about that one time. I think he talked about just, the man who's on top of the mountain didn't just get there. The guys that can keep getting up and keep swinging, those are the players and those are the teams that keep overcoming. And what I do know about myself, I'm an overcomer. I'm a guy that just, I've been doubted before. One thing about me is, I'm going to keep swinging.
I like the confidence, but...
He's not getting a lot of help. Does everybody realize they outplayed Arizona in Arizona and had the game won, if not for a personal foul call on special teams? So Russ was great that game. Now, they got rolled in Buffalo. Nobody would dispute that. And he struggled last week. But how about if Seattle didn't 2 years ago with their first pick completely whiff at running back? If they'd gotten Nick Chubb, who was available, and every scout I knew liked Chubb as the second best back to Saquon Barkley in the draft. It was understood among all my scouts. Seattle could have had him, didn't. If they had Nick Chubb today, Chris Carson backing up, and they had a running game, you wouldn't be solely relying on Russ saving you on every offensive possession.
Well, that's kind of what... Like, I understand what he's talking about. Like, he doesn't want to lose his confidence, and he shouldn't. But what Russ is kind of falling into now, and you can see this with the turnovers, and this is similarly what I think is happening with Carson Wentz to some degree, is that when you have to press because the everything is on you because of injuries or because the rest of the team's not playing well or because they haven't put the right pieces around you and you're the sole star that's supposed to save everything, you start trying to win the game on every throw.
It's called hero ball.
Yeah, you start trying to make these 21-point plays, and that doesn't exist.
This is the brilliance of the Kansas City Chiefs. They are making themselves less reliant on Mahomes. He's throwing less than the league
average.
They
can win multiple ways.
That's what New England did. Like, we got Brady. Let's have him throw 29 times, not 38. It means 8-9 more chances for him to get hit. So the smart teams want a great quarterback, but they don't want to be overwhelmingly... He can't be a life preserver.
Well, it's not just the running back injuries, which obviously have been awful this season. The Seahawks offensive line has allowed 30 sacks this season, tied for fourth most in the NFL, and allowed 104 pressures, which is the fourth worst, and 11.6 pressures per game, which is the third worst this season. So the offensive line is not helping him out. So it's not just that they can't establish a running game because of the injuries. The offensive line, no one can function in that space. Like, you see what happens when Joe Burrow has minimum level protection.
He gets crushed.
They can win a game. But if you get sacked four times a game, yeah, you can't accomplish. It doesn't matter who you are. The pocket gets so small. You feel like you have no time, and then you start to press, you roll out, and that's what's happening there. So there's been a lot of discussion about what the 49ers will do with Jimmy Garoppolo and the quarterback position next season. But Kyle Shanahan says not only he hopes to get Jimmy G back on the field in 2020, but he also expects him to be the starter moving forward.
I expect Jimmy to be our starter next year. I mean, I expect him to come and play with us this year. You know, we have 6 games left. We are not out of the playoffs yet. We got to do one game at a time, and I hope Jimmy can come back and be a part of that. But to think that we've made any decisions on anybody going into the future isn't the case. Jimmy's won a lot of games for us this year. It's a lot harder to win games when he's not here. And just hoping we can get him back.
I cannot wait. Honestly, it used to be the NBA offseason was as good as the regular season. I cannot wait to see what the Colts do at quarterback, what the Niners do at quarterback, because there's some rosters here. They got big decisions. Minnesota is stuck with Cousins for, you know, they extended him.
And
Atlanta,
this draft.
This is going to be such, they're going to have like 6 huge quarterback stories. By the way, if Jameis wins 4 games in New Orleans, like, then he's going to have either a huge market or be the Saints' next guy.
I mean, we got pretty lucky this football offseason with the moves that were made and the stories that were out there, especially considering we didn't have any sports for 5 months. But this offseason may be crazier than the last one.
I think it will be.
And that's with Tom Brady moving around. But Shanahan's record with the 49ers in games that are not started by Jimmy G is 5-23.
Yeah, there you go.
So it's understandable why he would still feel some loyalty to Jimmy G.
Well, and if it's not Jimmy G, then you go out and get somebody who thinks better than Jimmy G, because you can't win in this league even if you're Kyle. And it's not like Mullins is terrible. He's okay.
But in this division, it's not going to work. Jimmy's currently in his third year of his 5-year deal that runs through 2022. He'll be an unrestricted free agent in 2023. He has a cap hit of $26.9 million in 2021 and $27 in 2022, but there's no guaranteed money left on his deal. So they would free up $24 million in base salary if they chose to cut him or trade him before June 1st. So they do have a little bit of flexibility. The undefeated Steelers have a big Thanksgiving matchup with the Ravens next week, so it could be easy to overlook the one-win Jags on Sunday. But Mike Tomlin is taking this week's opponent very seriously, and he is not buying the idea of the Steelers walking into a trap game in Jacksonville.
This is the NFL, and more than anything, the guys know my attitude regarding that. We are not a Big Ten team playing a MAC opponent this week. Every time we step into a stadium, we're playing professionals, players and coaches. And we got a ridiculous level of respect for that.
I love Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin's sound bites are my favorite. He's right. Like, this is, look, you saw what happened with the Packers last week. It could have very easily been a really, really bad loss for them.
Think how great Alabama is. All the players they put in the NFL, how many are great? 5? That's a dominant dynasty. The Jaguars would roll. Destroy Alabama by 40.
It would be 150-2. It would not happen. I understand it, right? Like, the Jaguars are obviously not a good team, but
they're not a good NFL team.
A good NFL team, yes. I mean, they pushed the Packers. They were leading in the fourth. just last week, the Packers are going to win the division. They're a really good team. Like, this is, he's right. You have to take every opponent seriously. Yes. Now, look, like, I don't think that the Steelers are going to go undefeated. And it's, in some ways, it's probably better if they don't. But the Jags, they will likely beat the Jags this weekend. But he's absolutely right. It's very cliche, but all players on an NFL team are NFL players.
They're pros.
Yes, they're professional players. Anything can happen.
All right, Joey with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
He's the host of First Things First, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing, my buddy Nick Wright. I'm interested because I said to start my show today, if you give me KD and James Harden, you figure out the rest. I think KD is a leader. Yep. I do think he's a leader. Nobody's perfect outside of LeBron in this league, but Harden plays hard. He plays every night. He will try to defend. He's a great scorer. He dribbles too much, blah, blah, blah. But in the end, to me, Kevin Durant should go up and just say, get me Harden. I don't even care if I start from scratch. Give me North Carolina's team. I don't care. So that's my theory on Harden, KD. It's like LeBron AD. Everything else floats. They'll make it work. And then you just ship Kyrie to Houston. Am I nuts on that?
Well, it's not that you're nuts. I actually think you're closer than the folks that think the Nets have any realistic chance of getting Harden with a package centered around Caris LeVert and Spencer Dinwiddie. And no disrespect to those players, but they're 26 and 27 years old. The picks you would attach to it are going to be borderline useless because you would have Kevin Durant and James Harden on the team, so the team would be excellent. If the Rockets are going to move on from Harden, if they've made that decision, and I don't believe they have, but if they have, you have to get a star and picks.
Yes.
So you've got to get Ben Simmons, or you've got to get Michael Porter Jr., or you call up Utah. Now, I don't know if James Harden would agree to set foot in Salt Lake City for more than a night, but Donovan Mitchell for James Harden could be interesting.
Yeah.
Just like Kyrie for Harden, I agree with you, would be interesting. Kyrie is the reason that this does not fit for the Nets.
Right.
Is Kyrie does what Harden does at a lower level and is far more drama. And so I can't report what Chris Broussard reported yesterday with sources. I can just report it with logic and reasoning. Of course Kyrie doesn't like the idea of James Harden coming there. He didn't want to be the little brother to LeBron, so he left a great situation. Now he's going to want to be the third kid when two guys are clearly better than him at what he does best. So I love the idea of KD and Harden as a pair. I don't think it makes a ton of sense with Kyrie there, but I don't know if they're allowed to trade Kyrie because KD picked the coach. He picked DeAndre Jordan. He seems to be trying to pick Harden. I don't know if KD wants them to move on from Kyrie before they've even played a game together, but that is probably the best trade they could make, Colin.
By the way, speaking of trades, I remember years ago when the Lakers got Pau Gasol, I remember being in a window seat on the airport. It wasn't Twitter. It was like on the interweb. And I remember sitting there on the plane going, how did they get Pau Gasol? I don't understand this. That should be illegal. So Dennis Schroeder is not Pau Gasol. But I looked at it and thought, LeBron gets a 27-year-old who's 18 a game, probably more with LeBron, and they get rid of Danny Green's contract and they give up a 28th pick. Am I nuts on this? That is the most underreported trade. This makes the Lakers a prohibitive favorite to win again, right?
So I think it's a great trade. Also, I hadn't realized how long ago the Lakers traded for Pau Gasol, but it was back when Colin Cowherd wasn't flying private. So, wow, that's a long time ago, America. I think it's a great move. I think this is such a better move than the reported 28th pick, Danny Green and Kuzma, for DeMar DeRozan. I think Schroeder is a better fit for the Lakers than DeRozan. And what you also have to, what goes along with this is, I reported this weekend, not only that the Lakers expect to lose Rondo, but they kind of know who they're going to lose him to. Rondo, I can't say assuredly, but the Lakers believe Rondo is going to sign with the Hawks for a lot of money. So if Rondo's out the door, you need another guy who can initiate offense. You also need a guy who can score off the bench, and maybe Schroeder will start. We'll see what happens with Avery Bradley. KCP is going to be brought back on a big number, but I expect him to be back with the Lakers. I think they expect that as well. I love the fit. And as you were describing earlier, if you have LeBron and Anthony Davis, you're really just filling out the margins here.
Yes.
So the other decisions the Lakers have to make, for instance, do you want to bring back Dwight, or do you want to pursue, for example, Serge Ibaka or Tristan Thompson in that role? Like, there, how do you want to use your mid-level exception? Those are the types of things they have to do, but they've got 90% of the puzzle solved with LeBron and AD, but I think Schroeder is a really good piece, and it did kind of get lost in the Harden-Walton news and the Bucks trading for Drew Holiday, which is a signal to the whole league. They think they've got Giannis in the bag.
Yeah.
You don't trade away three future picks unless you believe Giannis is re-signing here in a few weeks with you.
So you are from Kansas City. You love Kansas City. And the last time the Raiders were there, they beat Kansas City and reportedly did a hysterical victory lap in the bus. I loved it. Joy loved it. I wonder how it sat with you.
Okay, so Kansas City is the largest American city you've never been to.
Yes,
correct, Colin
exactly,
Coward?
Exactly. Yes, it is true. That's true, yeah.
Okay. Okay. By the way, I take that as a personal insult, and it will still take it as a personal insult until you finally go. But okay, let me describe for people who haven't been there, Arrowhead Stadium. Arrowhead, it's not one of those fancy downtown arenas. It's not on the Vegas Strip. It's not in a really... It is in a place called Raytown, Missouri. There are two things around Arrowhead Stadium, a Taco Bell and a Sad Drury Inn. So if you are taking a lap there, it is not to see the sights, my friends, of my great hometown of Kansas City. It is because you are trying to taunt the team. And I get it. Listen, Raiders, I understand. It was beating the Chiefs in Arrowhead was the single best moment your franchise has experienced since Rich Gannon was your quarterback. It's a good moment. You want to embrace it. You want to bask in it. You know that's probably as high up the mountaintop as you're going to get. Unfortunately for you, you beat them in the first matchup of the season, not the second matchup of the season. Because now what you have supplied the Chiefs with is the thing they've been searching for all year, motivation. It's hard to get motivated every day when you're so clearly the best team in the league with so clearly the best player in the league. And you've seen that. The Chiefs played close games against bad teams, beat up on the Ravens when they were motivated, and then kind of sleptwalk. But now they're awake, and now they're ready. And assuming their tackles get off the COVID list, Derek Carr and John Gruden and Mike Mayock and Mark Davis, what you're going to experience this when's the game, Sunday night? Sunday is... I would say 3.5 hours of pain, but probably 2 hours and 15 minutes of pain, because at that point it'll be like 38-3 and they'll probably take their foot off the gas. I expect this victory lap to be punished. They will be punished for it for the first 3+ quarters on Sunday, and then all of us will be able to get to go to bed a little early Sunday night because the fourth quarter won't be competitive. So I'm glad they did it. I'm happy for the Raiders. Best moment for the franchise in 15 years. But that bill is coming due Sunday evening.
Okay, 1.5 minutes left. Little tight here. Nick Wright joining us finally. What was your, I forget because there's so many quarterbacks and we all have opinions. What was your hunch on Tua? Are you surprised that he's been this good? He came out this week and said, it's easier than I thought, which didn't bother me because when you have Saban, Brian Flores and play for the best high school in the country, arguably,
yep,
it is easier than it is for everybody else. What do you make of Tua so far?
So listen, I have a very spotty record on college to pro quarterback prognostication. I loved Haskins. That has not gone well. Tua is in my win column. I said Tua should go number one. I stand by that. I bet Tua, I'll text you the slip. I bet Tua November 1st to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. And right now, he's almost even with Herbert and Burrow on that. I love him. I think he's in. The only question mark was the hip. Aside from that, to me, is a no-doubter. I also think Brian Flores is turning turning himself into a top-five coach in this league. I think they're going to win the division, and I think he's going to be Offensive Rookie of the Year. I love that team. I love that player.
His name is
Getting
Nick Wright.
Getting choked up talking about him, Colin.
Yeah, go ahead. I had that
it's
happen.
Hard for me.
That happens once a year or two. Good seeing you, buddy.
You too. Good to see you guys, buddy.
All right. Coming up next, what if you were really good at your job for 15 years, and then in this COVID year, you didn't perform very well? Does the previous resume still matter? Do I think now you're no good at your job? Defending Jim Harbaugh. Next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Good to have you back in. I saw this story this morning. Could the Jets go get Jim Harbaugh from Michigan? So it's interesting. My entire life, resumes mattered. That's why you give them to a company when you want to get hired. Your resume matters. Nobody lives a perfect life. Everybody realizes that. We all have bad days, bad weeks, bad years. But resumes always matter. And if you have a good resume, and you're like, did well here, 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 then the understanding is you're capable. You can have a bad day or a bad year. Similarly, just because you have two good moments on YouTube doesn't make a loser into a winner. So Jim Harbaugh's won everywhere. He hasn't had a losing season. I'll look it up here. He hasn't had a losing season since 2008. And I'm supposed to believe in this COVID year where James Franklin, Penn State are a disaster. PJ Fleck and Minnesota. PJ is one of the best young coaches in the country. They're a mess. And Michigan has unraveled. This means he can't coach. He goes to Michigan, and his first 5 years, he averages 9.5 wins. That was more than Bo Schembechler. And by the way, the Big Ten's better now than it's been in 15 years. He won 10, 10, 8, 10, and 9. He's not Ohio State. They never have been. He's not Alabama. He's not Georgia. I mean, he's not Clemson. I mean, if Florida State and USC and Oklahoma were at the top of their game, he wouldn't be them either. Oklahoma probably is. But this idea that he's coached 16 full years in his life of football, 12 in college, 4 in the NFL, 13 of those 16 he won, one he was 500. He had a couple of losing years at Stanford when he took over for Walt Harris. They were 1-11. You're not going to give him a couple years to battle up and get to about 500? Listen, Michigan this year is a mess. Last year they won 9, year before 10. First 2 years, 10-10. It used to be that resumes mattered. And if you're a great commercial real estate salesperson, man or woman, you're really good at it for all these years. And then in the COVID year, you have your worst year ever. Because, you know, Zoom meetings and stuff. You can't sell commercial real estate. Companies are selling their buildings. They may start sharing their buildings with other companies. I read that today from Bill Gates. That's going to be the future of America. Like, if you own a big building commercially, you'll share it with a company. One day we're Fox, the next day, who knows? But the reality is, I'm supposed to take the COVID year and go, yeah, guys, it's just no good. I don't know what's happened there, and I don't know what's happened at Penn State, and I don't know what's happened at Minnesota with PJ Fleck. I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. By the way, Oklahoma and Lincoln Riley's a great coach. Didn't they start out 0-2? Oklahoma, and he's a great coach. I can't figure out why Brian Kelly's kept it going and Lincoln Riley couldn't and this guy couldn't and Harbaugh couldn't. But the idea, by the way, Cliff Kingsbury never won anywhere. And he's working in the NFL. Brian Flores had never been a coordinator. Joe Judge had, we didn't even know who Joe Judge was. Am I supposed to believe Harbaugh can't coach now? I mean, am I supposed to believe great commercial real estate brokers don't know what they're doing suddenly? It used to be that resumes mattered. And if you were good, like Drew Brees, when he got all that crap in New Orleans, listen, Drew Brees may have been clunky and not connected with his teammates, but God, his resume was good teammate, good father, good husband, gave to charity. Don't you earn like a bad day? Don't you earn a clunky sentence? Don't you? I mean, isn't that what we're all working hard? If resumes didn't matter, why would we all treat people nice? Like, there's a part of it is that you want to build sort of a reputation in life. Like, you're good and you're trustable and you're decent and you give to charity and you're a good person. I mean, that's a big influence in all of our lives. Like, we want to be good people. We want to be liked and well thought of. That's a, it's a life resume. It may not be on paper, but it's a life resume. That's why you open doors and you give to charity and you tip well and you help old ladies across the street. You want to be thought of well. You don't want to be a schmuck. You want to be a lubricator, not an agitator. I'm supposed to believe now Jim Harbaugh just can't coach. Hadn't had a losing season in 12 years. The only time he ever lost, he took over a disaster at Stanford. And now he can't coach. Can James Franklin not coach now? Can P.J. Fleck not coach? Is Lincoln Riley? You know, Lincoln Riley's not very good. Guess what? You know, Bill Belichick, 43% wins without Brady. I don't know if he's the right coach for the Jets, but don't tell me Harbaugh can't coach. Joel Klatt next.